Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
That is a pretty good symptom of how much the left has collapsed as a moral system in this country, and why you need to reassert something as simple as saying to them, go get a job right after you take a bath.
Newt Gingrich wants politicians who profited from the mortgage crisis to be held accountable. Okay, he can start by looking in the mirror.
I wanted you to explain the $300,000 you said you gave to Freddie Mac, that they did not take your advice. You were not a lobbyist for them?
That's a sampling of Newt Gingrich in the media, including his take a bath comments about Occupy protesters, as well as questions from Ed Schultz and Sean Hannity about his connection to Freddie Mac. That's where we start this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen, welcoming you to another hour of important conversation. We'll start off with the presidential race. Go to CNN, where Howard Kurtz talked to political analysts Nia Malika Henderson, David Schuster, and Robert Costa about the increased media scrutiny that Newt Gingrich is getting.
The Washington Post reported the other day that one of Newt's outfits got $37 million from healthcare companies for access to Newt. Does this mean the media are finally taking Newt Gingrich seriously as a presidential candidate by digging into his record?
Well, some of the media, obviously Fox News, are giving him the talking points about this. You're not a lobbyist, right? But the fact of the matter is, I mean, there's no evidence that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, actually heard that advice from Newt Gingrich, if in fact he offered it. Nobody's been willing to say, oh, yes, he warned us. The fact of the matter is, they don't remember him saying it. So I don't think he was getting millions of dollars because of, you know, his history about what would have happened if Japan won World War II. I mean, he was doing something, okay. And clearly Newt Gingrich is saying, I'm going to create this cloud.
But, you know, Robert Gingrich, famously disdainful of the media, loves to beat up on the moderators in these debates. But given how much Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae have been targets for conservatives, this is not some gotcha story. It's a legitimate news story, in my view.
And you're already seeing some of his conservative challengers. Michelle Bachmann's bringing this up on the trail, saying she doesn't have these kind of bad connections. I mean, Gingrich really does have a problem since he left the speakership.
But what does it tell us about the media climate where, I mean, my pet theory about all this is, you know, if the press decides in our collective wisdom that you're not going anywhere, we go off and investigate someone else. When you seem like you might be a threat to win the nomination, suddenly investigative reporters are turning over rocks about who paid you money when 10 years ago.
I think it speaks a little bit to the resources at many news organizations. You follow the front runner, and I think that's not a great situation. You want to have a spotlight on every candidate. But Newt Gingrich, a lot of his baggage is public knowledge. We know a lot about Newt Gingrich, stuff we don't know maybe about Michelle Bachmann and Herman Cain. You saw real investigative stories on them. A lot of this Newt stuff is just going over old territory and old news.
Did the media basically laugh off his initial explanation about being a historian, hired by Freddie Mac as a historian?
Yes, I think we did, because it seemed like a not-so-frank explanation. And, you know, the reality is he was Speaker of the House, and in some ways he was trading on that influence and the ties that he had made in Washington. Of course, now we see from his campaign real pushback against these stories. He's got a new website up where he lays out 16 possible problems that he's going to have to answer, whether it's on health care, whether it's on agricultural subsidies.
Or so, whether it's on history, marriages, and
yes,
allegations of infidelity.
Exactly.
And there's a certain shamelessness to it, Howie. I mean, there he was trying to impeach President Clinton when he was 5 years into an extramarital affair. There he was trying to get former Democratic Speaker Jim Wright out of office over a book scandal. When Newt Gingrich had his own book scandal. I mean, it goes on and on and
but
on.
If you look at this through a media prism, David, you see Gingrich trying to find ways to preempt the questions that he knows are coming. This guy's been around a long time.
Right.
He led the 1994 Republican takeover of Congress. He knows, and he seems to turn to his advantage, bashing the media. You know, we all kind of snicker at it, but it's been very popular with some Republican
circles.
And
I think it's a very effective strategy that, oh, there's the media wanting to talk about how I was criticizing President Obama for going to the UN on Libya. And then all of a sudden, President Obama starts going into Libya, and all of a sudden, Newt Gingrich says, oh, wait a second, he shouldn't have done that. I mean, a complete 180, but there's a certain shamelessness that Newt Gingrich sort of has to twinkle in his eye when he does it. And because he's a smart guy and because he's attacking the media, I think it's an effective strategy for him.
Up next, more on Gingrich and the presidential race on the Countdown.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Eventually, it's going to happen. You'll turn the key and your engine won't start. Don't lose your ability to get around. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts for a superstart battery. Whether it's a reliable economy, hardworking premium, or powerful extreme, you'll find it in stock at an everyday low price. Don't let a dead battery get you down. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Introducing OnStar FMV for my vehicle. The safety of OnStar for your car.
OnStar Emergency.
Hi, I just had an accident.
Are you injured?
I think I'm okay. I'm just scared. I'm pregnant. I'm 8 months.
Please hold for the 911 center.
911.
My name is Judy with OnStar. Going to need police and medical. Tekel and Nellis. My subscriber's been involved in an accident.
I'll get help out to you.
I should call my husband. I can't find my cell phone.
Do you want me to call him for you?
Will you please?
With new OnStar FMV, now you can have this kind of protection installed on your car at Best Buy.
Hello, is this Eddie?
Yeah.
It's Judy with OnStar. I'm going to bring you on to speak with your wife.
Are you okay?
I'm just scared.
Maybe I'm on my way.
We all need the safety of OnStar because life happens while you drive. Get it today for your car at Best Buy for $199 MSRP after instant rebate. Tax, installation, and subscription extra. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, details, and other retailers. Offer ends 12/31/11.
The holidays are a time of hope and excitement for children. But with unemployment at a 20-year high and a record 16 million American children living in poverty, many children risk facing Christmas without a gift under the tree. Since 1947, U.S. Marine Corps Reserve units have conducted Toys for Tots campaigns nationwide to bring the joy of Christmas to America's most disadvantaged children. But while the economy means more donations are needed, it also means fewer people are able to donate. Lieutenant General Pete Osman, President and CEO of the Marine Toys for Tots Foundation, has more.
The need has never been greater. I would ask the American public to throw its support behind Toys for Tots this season by donating that new toy or making that monetary donation. Together, we can bring the joy of Christmas and send a message of hope to America's less fortunate children.
Toys can be donated to Toys for Tots at any Toys R Us or Babies R Us through December 4th. And money can be donated through December 24th online at toysfortots.org.
Talk radio in review. The focus on Newt Gingrich, the Republican presidential contenders. Mika Brzezinski on MSNBC has analyst Jeffrey Sachs talking about Gingrich's comments. The focus, the Occupy protesters. Mika says, shows what an arrogant hypocrite he is.
It's really not surprising coming from me, but that was about the most arrogant and unself-aware, and those are probably the only words I can use, things for any politician in this Republican field to say.
Disgusting.
Disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting. No sense of any meaning in all of this. Absolutely revolting, actually. And especially when what they're protesting against is the incredible abuse of power, the criminality on Wall Street and so forth, that he Yes, taking his millions of dollars. It's shocking.
Someone needs a bath, and I don't think it's the people from Occupy Wall Street. That's all I'm going to say. I got nothing else. I am so disgusted by that something horrible is going to come. This is my belt. I'm sorry. I was having trouble dressing this morning, figuring out to wear.
I'm so lucky I didn't really bring out discarded pieces of clothing.
I left them on. I'm sorry. It's Monday and
special.
Am I alone here? Am I overreacting?
No.
I'm sickened by that.
The Republican Party needs to engage on the immorality of the income inequality in this country, and they'd be politically smart to try to capture some of the sentiment there that rails against a lot of what they should be against, too.
So it's fair to say he's in the 1%, correct?
Yeah.
Fannie Mae put him there.
He's telling the 99% to take a bath and get a job? Really? Really? I wonder how they do that right now. How, given the state of this country, how anyone's supposed to try and just get a job and take a bath? Who is this man? Who does he think he is? And why is he surging in the polls? I don't get it. And then to hear Newt Gingrich standing on literally his high horse after taking advantage of the system, cashing in on it, being the biggest, literally the biggest hypocrite in the Republican field, probably in politics today, the biggest hypocrite, and then to cast aspersions and to speak down to these people as if they should be flicked away, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. It's a very angry way to start the show. I'm extremely sorry. But it's the first time I've seen that. And it literally made my skin crawl. I cannot believe he resonates.
On Fox, John Scott with analyst Carl Cameron about the latest polls, which show that Newt Gingrich is now the lone frontrunner.
Right now, some brand new numbers on the Republican race for the White House showing Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney in a statistical dead heat. Our chief political correspondent, Carl Cameron, is live in Washington with the latest. So, Carl, this slow, steady race that Newt Gingrich has been sort of bragging about seems to be paying off, at least for now.
And surprise, surprise, John, the slow, steady race that's been underway for a year and a half is getting quick and chaotic now that we're just 7 weeks away from the first actual votes. The polls are tightening in the early states, and they are tightening nationally. The latest Gallup poll says it's a dead heat at the very top. And this has been reflected in a lot of other surveys as well. Mitt Romney is at 20% at Gallup. Newt Gingrich has now surged to 19%. Herman Cain slipped a little bit to 16, and Ron Paul is the only other candidate in double digits with 10, and that's where he's been for the longest time. Romney is getting challenged for the first time in the Granite State, with voters beginning to make up their minds. Crunch time is here. The ad wars are going to start in earnest right after Thanksgiving. And Romney is rolling out big GOP establishment backers. Today he was endorsed by New Hampshire Congressman Charlie Bass. Yesterday it was U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte. Romney today was taking aim at President Obama, mostly accusing him of worrying more about his reelection than the super community. And today he challenged the president to step in and try to do something to avoid those immediate, or rather a year from now, but unavoidable cuts of $600 billion to the Defense Department.
I would call on the president, and do call on the president, to immediately introduce legislation which says we will not have a $600 billion cut to America's military. We should not cut any funding from our base Department of Defense budget. That should not occur.
And while Mitt Romney's knocking on President Obama, Newt Gingrich is knocking on Mitt Romney's door in New Hampshire, ramping up his campaign. And today, the former House Speaker will be announcing his entitlement reform plan. The shorthand of it is that there would be an optional plan for younger workers to use private investment accounts in lieu of Social Security. Mr. Gingrich would repeal and replace Obamacare, and he would means test and block grant a host of other social safety net programs back to the states. Gingrich is also planning to propose private alternatives to Medicare today, and he'll argue that unleashing competition will dramatically increase options for American seniors while lowering the costs of health care.
Host Brad Krantz and Britt Whitmire with ABC's Steve Roberts about Newt Gingrich and whether he really has a shot.
Can Newt Gingrich become the nominee of the Republican Party?
No. I'm sorry to be so ambivalent
You've had a week to
take a stand.
I thought you would have come around on this, Steve. He's had a pretty good week.
Yeah, but look, as we've been saying, Newt Gingrich is only the latest. I count 10 others who have been pretenders to the title of the non-Romney, the not Mitt. You know, whether it was Polanyi, Bachman, Palin, Chris Christie, Mitch Daniels, you know, Herman Cain, Rick Perry. I mean, the list is endless, and that's what this Gingrich boomlet is about. It's this increasingly desperate search by conservatives to find someone other than Romney, but it's not going to work. He's a flawed guy.
No, but Steve, he's so smart. He's so intelligent, and he's a historian.
Well, you saw such liberals as George Will knock that one down yesterday, right?
That's right. I covered Gingrich for years. I always admired him as a thinker. He understood the media. He understood how to rally the Republican troops. Give him credit. He was the first Republican leader to win the House of Representatives in 40 years when he became Speaker in 1994. So he is not, you know, he is politically very astute, but he's a poor representative of his own ideas. He's much better as a strategist than as a leader. I think you can see signs already of the Republican establishment coalescing around Romney. They're not happy about it. 3 out of 4 Republicans still are not for him, but they want to beat Obama so badly that they increasingly understand that Romney's their best chance, and that's the most important dynamic happening right now.
All right, let's get to something else here. A couple of the other presidential candidates up next on the countdown.
Great. You getting ready for Thanksgiving?
I am.
You going to cook a big turkey?
Yeah, 22 pounds.
Whoa, that's nice.
22 pounder. How many people are you expecting?
There's about 11 of us.
Okay, and what do you do with the...
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
Now, also available in digital format at Amazon and iTunes worldwide.
Don't come calling when your walls start falling down. I'd rather let it be back. Don't take it away.
How does it feel to be one of the beautiful people?
Hey, revolution. Time to
Life Before the Collapse by The Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by The Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
And iTunes.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Talk radio, talk television, the 2012 presidential race. Here is the radio host Inga Barks talking about Newt Gingrich coming under attack by the news media as soon as he made it to the top of the polls.
As soon as Newt Gingrich started to rise, the attacks begin. So, apparently, and this is the caption by Newt Gingrich. It was in the context of I don't know what conversation. And he said it in the last couple of days. And this is his exact quote. You say to somebody, you shouldn't go to work before you're what, 14, 16 years of age? Fine. You're totally poor. You're in a school that's failing with a teacher that is failing. I've tried for years to have a very simple model. Most of these kids ought to get rid of the unionized janitors, have one master janitor, and pay local students to take care of the school. The kids would actually do work. They would have cash. They would have pride in their schools. They'd begin the process of rising. All right. The liberal world has gone nutso. Now, the three people on this panel, who I do not know who they were, like I said, lady who I think was on The View, guy who identified himself as Jewish, gal with a pearl necklace. And they were all aghast. One of them said that Newt Gingrich was taking on the workers, American workers. Well, he did say unionized janitors, didn't he? So he's taking on the American worker. That's what one of them said. But by and large, the criticism was, we can't make our children do this work. We can't make our children clean toilets. It's unsanitary. They have to use chemicals that they're not trained to use. They're children. Now, I don't know if Newt's comment was, you know, in context, he was actually saying children should, you know, we should fire janitors and children should be taken over the schools, or if he was making a bigger statement about our children and the state of our children in their schools. But regardless, I completely agree. And that's not because it's a Republican who said it. I 100% agree.
Talk host John Williams has a different take on Gingrich and his recent comments about unions.
I'm not exactly sure what he's saying there. That's the beauty of Newt. That's why he's so good on radio. That's why he's so good on TV. He says provocative things, and he goes so fast, you got to scratch your head and say, now stop, wait a minute. Okay, so unions are bad, and I understand that. I'm not even arguing that. I see how unions exclude some people from doing work and how they keep wages sometimes unrealistically high. I understand that sometimes unions are their own worst enemy. No problem with that. And then he says kids should work in school to take a little pride and to learn the value of work. And I have no problem with that. If we want to have the kids cleaning the classroom before and after school, I'm fine with that. But I don't know what school Newt's been to lately. Does he think that the janitors only take out the trash? I mean, what's the point of this? Is he saying that we ought to have the kids in the poorest ed schools doing the cleaning The kids in the poor SAD school should mostly be reading and writing. They should be reading and writing. If they have a choice between the value of work, cleaning the school, or reading and writing and reading and writing and reading and writing, they should be reading and writing. The poorest kids in the poorest school should be reading and writing. That's all you need to know. That's all the kids in school should do. If they want to have a job after school or before school, fine. And if the teacher wants to make them all wipe down the floors and chalkboards afterwards, fine. But what is he talking about? What in the world is his point? That the school should give up on the kids academically and just say, look, you're screwed. This is a bad school. Let's at least teach you the value of work, and maybe someday you can be a janitor or a mechanic or, I don't know, an accountant. I don't know what you're going to do, but you're not going to be an accountant or a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer if you don't go to school, and you're not going to be good in school if you don't read and write. Read and write, read and write. That's what they should be doing. What he's really here is angry at unions, it sounds like, but please don't throw the kids under the bus. That's a non sequitur.
Other candidates will appear in your ears when the Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan with your wake-up call.
Get your alarm set because Rent-A-Center's Black Friday sale starts at 6 a.m.
And that means the biggest deals of the year on gaming systems, 17-inch HP laptops, 55-inch Toshiba LEDs, and 10-inch Acer tablets.
And it's all worry-free, so you don't need credit to get it.
Go to Rent-A-Center early. The best deals won't last long.
See Rent-A-Center.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
From 0 to 60, I'm Bobby Owens. Once again, it's that time of year when gearheads and ordinary car fans rev up for the Los Angeles Auto Show. And Chrysler drove the excitement even further when it introduced the 2012 Fiat 500 Abarth. Head of Fiat Product Marketing, Matt Davis, says the new Abarth is quite special.
I had a chance to drive it the other day, and it's truly a remarkable vehicle. It has a Abarth tuned suspension and brake system, has an all-new 1.4-liter multi-air turbo engine, race-inspired interior and exterior, and of course you have the iconic Abarth shields that really pays homage to the racing heritage.
And Abarth's performance and price will drive its appeal.
It definitely attracts some new consumers to the brand. Not only does it appeal to performance lovers, and of course, the driving purist, who desire the Italian performance car at an obtainable price.
For more information, visit FiatUSA.com/Abarth. That's 0-60 from Chrysler. I'm Bobby Owens.
This holiday season, find your magic at Macy's. Now through December 24th, bring your stamped letter addressed to Santa at the North Pole to Macy's and drop it in our special Believe letter boxes. For each letter received, Macy's will donate $1 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, up to $1 million. Believe in the power to change a child's life. Visit Macy's.com/believe to learn more. And together, we'll collect a million reasons to believe. That's the magic of Macy's.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family. Peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta Alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, FoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
You owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
As we round the bottom of the hour, I'm Doug Steffen with a welcome back into our Talk Radio Countdown, another half hour of the news that's fit to hear and talk about. Here's host Todd Feinberg with a focus on why he thinks Ron Paul is suddenly doing pretty well in the polls.
Now, here's a Bloomberg poll that came out on Friday, I believe. It shows Herman Cain in front in Iowa with 20% of the vote, Ron Paul second with 19, Romney third with 18, and Newt with 17%. In other words, it's a tie between those four candidates. Can you see Ron Paul winning? You know, it makes sense in this way. Ron Paul, as Matt Dowd said, has a devoted, emotional, committed audience of you know, continual base that's out there. He raises tons of money from them, and he gets this consistent 12 to 13 point support, but all of a sudden he's running a little higher in Iowa. And as this search goes on for the candidate, there's Mitt Romney, who everybody thinks is the eventual nominee, but is sort of, if he is the nominee, it's because he's everybody's second choice or third choice. But enough people second or third choice, so he becomes first, because nobody really is the first choice, right? You have this rotating rumble going on of alternative candidates. So, you know, starting out with Donald Trump in the early season, and moving on to other candidates, you know the list. What we've seen is this revolving support. And what that block of voters is looking for is something that demonstrates a passion and a commitment to conservative values that matches up with, I think, a Tea Party-style voter, somebody who wants not just a conservative Republican, but understands that Republicans have been part of the power structure, i.e. selling out America along with the Democrats, rather than representing conservative values. So there's this fire in the belly for somebody competent, smart, articulate, able to handle the job with the experience to handle the job, and the commitment to conservative values. And so it's kind of like Mitt's in the back pocket, and there's this rotation of other guys, and maybe that roulette wheel will eventually settle on Ron Paul, and maybe that'll happen as Newt descends under the vicious attacks that he's starting to face now.
From Fox, Brett Baier talks to Rick Perry about the super committee. Perry explains why it wouldn't happen if he were president.
About the failure of the super committee, your reaction to this and what it means.
Well, obviously, this is frankly what a lot of us expected. When you being the president of the United States, you got to lead. And this president has not led on this issue. We know what the problem is. We're spending too much money. We're taxing way too much. And that's one of the reasons I laid out that 20% flat tax to get Americans back working again. And that's what this was always about. How are we going to get Americans back working again? And this president has, I mean, you think about it, he was looking for somebody to blame. He didn't want to be in a leadership position. And I think this was a contrived opportunity for him to pitch this over to Congress. Now Congress has fouled up. Well, that's one of the reasons that I'm calling for a part-time legislature, because I think Americans are fed up with Washington being so broke down, so corrosive, that they can't fix anything. And a president of the United States is playing into that. I mean, I think Americans are ready to, you know, throw them all away, cut their pay in half, cut their staffs in half, and if they don't have a balanced budget on the way to me by 2020, cut their pay in half again.
Governor, I ask every candidate comes in center seat about the path that they will take to the nomination. The latest national polls, the average of polls, have you at 8.2%. As you scroll through here, you can see the numbers. And then in Iowa, you're down at 6%. And in New Hampshire, you're at 2%. So how do you get the nomination? Where do you have to win? Is Iowa crucial?
Well, all the states are crucial, but you go in and you talk about your plan. I think you talk about your vision. I got in late. I understand that. We laid out our policy on how to get Americans back working about a month ago, the first of it. Then we laid out the second part of it with our 20% flat tax and the spending cut and balancing the budget. And then, just last week, we laid out our opportunity to talk about how to restructure Washington, D.C., kind of to deconstruct, if you will, and part-time legislators. Some people will say, well, you can't do that. Well, let me tell you, there are a lot of states it works really well in. In my home state, Charles, 140 days every other year. We're the 13th largest economy in the world. We get our business done. Those legislators, they have jobs back home that they go work at, stay with their constituents, and we make it work.
So first or second in Iowa?
Either way.
The latest on the Occupy Wall Street protests and protestors when the Talk Radio Countdown Show moves along.
Do you only wear clothes that hide your psoriasis? Do you constantly have to explain your itching? Are you embarrassed by flaking or scaling? If you said yes to any of these questions, you're eligible to try a new treatment called SebaClear, risk-free. SebaClear has been found to help stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by psoriasis. SebaClear is a non-prescription topical treatment proven to help eliminate the reoccurrence of skin psoriasis. The results are so incredible that patients have described this formula as life-changing. Stop hiding under long-sleeve shirts and long pants. Call now for your risk-free trial of SebaClear. But hurry, this special offer won't last.
Call 1-800-467-9194. That's 1-800-467-9194. Try SebaClear risk-free. Call 1-800-467-9194. That's 1-800-467-9194.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan with your wake-up call.
Get your alarm set because Rent-A-Center's Black Friday sale starts at 6 a.m.
And that means the biggest deals of the year on gaming systems, 17-inch HP laptops, 55-inch Toshiba LEDs, and 10-inch Acer tablets.
And it's all worry-free, so you don't need credit to get it.
Go to Rent-A-Center early. The best deals won't last long.
See Rent-A-Center.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. Making the transition back to civilian life or active duty with a traumatic injury can be the challenge of a lifetime. The USO provides every American a way to support our wounded warriors and their families through every phase of their medical treatment and rehabilitation. It's how all of us, as a community, can give something back to our heroes. It's how we can say thank you and assure them that their sacrifice is recognized and appreciated by every one of us. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in the lives of our wounded warriors and their families. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Calling people using long distance was draining my wallet. So, to save money, I'm only calling people with toll-free numbers. Do any of my friends have them? No. Any family members?
Nope.
You know, no one I call has a toll-free number. So, Mom, if you're listening, I got your messages. Tell Cousin Tommy I hope all is well. And honestly, would it hurt you to look into an 800 number? I'm your only son, for crying out loud.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to GEICO.com. Get a quote. Or follow this guy's toll-free pension and call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Hi, this is Ed Krell, Chief Executive Officer of Destination Maternity. It's a sad fact that each year, thousands of babies here at home and millions more worldwide are born too soon. The problem is big, but that shouldn't stop us. Together with the March of Dimes, we're helping moms in our community get the care they need to have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Help us raise awareness of this crisis and put an end to premature birth for good. Learn and do more at marchofdimes.com.
Let's turn your attention to the Occupy Wall Street protests. Here's radio man Ray Appleton with Amy Martin, a student senator at UC Davis, where peacefully protesting students were pepper sprayed.
Tell me, what's the mood like now after this is all said and done for the moment?
Mood's pretty interesting. We've probably got about 50 or so tents out on the quad. Still lots of people here. I think a lot of people were really inspired in a lot of ways by yesterday's General Assembly meeting. There are thousands of students, faculty, and staff out on the quad. It was a pretty powerful time to be an Aggie.
What took place at that General Assembly meeting?
Well, first, a lot of the students who were directly affected on Friday kind of gave testimonials. So those who were pepper sprayed and arrested spoke about their experience. There's a set agenda for these General Assembly meetings, orders of the day that they move through. And so they move to announcements. A lot of other people, anyone could come up and speak. Chancellor Katehi also did address the entire body.
Now, there are a lot of people calling for the head of the college to roll, to get out of Dodge, see you later, alligator. What's your position on that personally?
We actually held an emergency Senate meeting last night to pass a resolution in response to Friday's events. And in that Senate resolution, we made a list of demands of things that we thought that the chancellor needed to address for us to feel comfortable with her leading UC Davis. And basically said, if these are not met within the academic year, then she should consider resigning.
What are a couple of those demands, just out of general curiosity?
Yeah, of course. Some of these things include having the Attorney General's office do an independent investigation of what occurred on Friday. So some things addressing, you know, the making sure that we get to the bottom of what happened on Friday. But then moving forward from that, reforming UC-wide police policy to make sure that it's inclusive and safe for student activists on all of our campuses.
Has there been any response from her, the leader of the university, as of yet to these demands, or has it been too early to get anything from her?
It's probably too early yet to get anything from her. I know that you had asked Adam Thongsbot, our ASUC president, to come on this morning, and he and Bree Romby, the ASUC vice president, are actually in a meeting with Chancellor Katehi right now, so I'm sure that will be a topic of discussion.
What do you think that she'll, how do you think she'll respond to this?
You know, she has seemed in the past couple of days very humbled by this entire event and horrified at what happened on Friday. And I think that she understands that she has lost the trust of a large portion of the UC Davis community, and that she needs to do everything she can to regain students' trust and to make people feel like this is a safe place for them again. So I do think that she's looking towards really addressing any and all student concerns at this point in time.
Bernard McGurk here with New York State Senator Eric Adams about the police reaction to the Occupy Wall Street protesters there.
My view, in case you didn't know, folks, on the Occupy Wall Street protesters was basically I point the finger at Mayor Bloomberg for his inaction early on. He allowed this to fester, this whole situation to grow, and then to metastasize across the country. And in the meantime, local businesses were hurt. People's quality of lives, they were just disrupted, going to school, the noise, the drums at night, and I hold him accountable for it, and I thought he was just a poor mayor, a poor leader, and he eventually got religion, and he got rid of them, and I was happy. My next guest right now is State Senator Eric Adams. He has a completely opposite position to mine. Your view is what about mayor? You're very unhappy that the mayor finally did take that action.
No. It's actually more than the Occupy Wall Street incident. It's how it was done and what we did with personal property and how we handled the media. So, you know, if you're for or against Occupy Wall Street, I don't think that's as a bigger issue than that you can't take personal property from citizens without giving them some form of receipt that you took that property from them. And you can't deny media access to cover a story such as this.
Okay, I've heard that reported. So you're not going to take a position on the Occupy Wall Street people and the fact that the mayor threw them out. Do you agree with his that it disrupted quality of life and the local businesses and that free speech no longer was the issue, or do you just not want to address that?
Well, when you look at, I attended several of the community board meetings down in that area. The community board that is representative of that community stated that they were in support of the protest. So it's not for me to state with the community board, who are a cross-section of the people who represent that area. They debated the issue, and they came out in favor of it.
You know, Senator Adams, you're hiding behind the community board. I mean, I've seen you on the news over the years. I know you have strong opinions. I mean, you know, you're hiding behind the board. Either you're for it or you're against it. I mean,
no, I never told you I wasn't. I'm for Occupy Wall Street all over the country and all over the globe. So I'm not telling you I'm against it, but I'm sharing with you that the community board stated what their positions are, and you and I should not dictate to what community wants in their particular area.
Here's talk maven Bob Connors with University of Ohio history professor Kevin Mattson about what he thinks the Occupy protesters need to do to gain support and get their message across.
What does the Occupy Wall Street movement need to do to be, when you say, more cohesive and centralize the message? How about just a little more acceptable?
Well, I think that probably what it needs to do is it needs to translate what is, I think, a kind of very diffuse anger into some sort of coherent policy solution to the problems that they're addressing. I think they've tapped very successfully into anger and frustration with American corporations. But what I don't think that they've done terribly well is to really offer some sort of concrete solutions. And as this starts to become more and more about confrontations with local police forces across the United States, I think they're going to have an even more difficult time of maintaining the sympathies that I think that they have gotten up until this point.
Well, the governor of Wisconsin seems to be aware of what these Occupy issues are all about. I think they're coming together to get him removed.
Well, that's certainly true. That would be a case, though, I think, where you can actually, I kind of draw a distinction between a movement that's based around emotion very often and a concrete campaign that, you know, you can spot an outcome, you can say this is what we want to accomplish, it's well-defined, and you can work on those things. I think that's an example of where I think they're making an intelligent sort of progression towards a concrete solution and focusing on a campaign, and I think that's the sort of thing that, you know, Occupy starts to need to do if they want to start being taken seriously in the world of American politics.
So, Kevin, with as a professor of contemporary history, what place is this going to take in history?
I think we'll look back on it and recognize that what Occupy really has accomplished was to provide something of a more of a left-wing variant of the Tea Party. I think it's going to be put in the general mix of a growing discontent about American politics and about the in the case of Occupy about an anger and frustration with American corporations. I think actually in some ways the Tea Party itself had already raised some of these issues. I mean, they were upset about the bailouts of the banks. They were as upset about the government's activities as they were the bank's activities. And I think Occupy has kind of honed in more on perhaps the bank side.
Outbreaks of violence now around the world. Egypt back in the spotlight on the Talk Radio Countdown show next.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
So Egypt is not satisfied with their new ruling entity, and so the Middle East is hot again. Here's correspondent Ivan Watson with Alina Chow. They talk about the thousands of people taking to the streets over there. And there are elections, you know, scheduled for next week.
I don't think we're quite at a million people yet, but definitely the numbers have swelled. If you want to see Alina, Joe's going to pan out across the crowd in Tahrir Square. Thousands of people slept in the square overnight. They're establishing camps there, first aid stations as well, because we're going to zoom in and show you in the direction of where the clashes have been going on now for three straight days and nights in the direction of the Interior Ministry, where riot police are firing pretty much every minute canisters of tear gas. Despite that, and despite the effects it's had, where you have people being rushed out, overwhelmed by the tear gas, by ambulances, the mostly angry young Egyptian men and women who are on the front lines facing off against the riot police are not backing down. They are continuing to stand their ground. They are not going to give up this territory. In addition to the 24 people killed here in Egypt, according to the Ministry of Health, and I expect that number will rise due to the number of ambulances we saw streaming out of here throughout the night, at least one person has been killed in the second city of Alexandria in similar clashes, and at least 60 people wounded there. Alina.
Very quickly, just as we were going to air this morning, we heard a report that three Americans were among those detained in Egypt. What can you tell us about that?
Well, Alina, the images of these three prisoners were shown on state TV last night. They were shown their ID cards. It looked like they were students at the American University of Cairo, that we haven't confirmed that yet. One of them appeared to have a driver's license from Indiana. Now, the prosecutor's office here is accusing these three Americans of hooliganism, saying that they were caught throwing Molotov cocktails. Now, the U.S. Embassy here says it's looking into this report. It hasn't been able to confirm the detention of these three apparent Americans, though they say one American female student was detained yesterday and later released. There's a large number, a large expatriate population in Cairo and in Egypt. This is a major tourist destination, as well as a place of study for a lot of students. So it's not surprising to hear that foreigners and Americans are getting caught up in this. The bigger picture, elections are just 6 days away. Can you still hold parliamentary elections with this kind of violence going on in the Egyptian capital.
Here's host Simon Conway with Middle East expert Pamela Geller about the outbreaks of violence there in Egypt and the involvement of the Muslim Brotherhood.
This is, a very serious situation for the United States, because once again we did not act in our strategic best interests.
Agreed. You saw on Friday the Muslim Brotherhood had how many thousands, tens of thousands, I don't even know, hundreds of thousands in Tahrir Square. This idea, I'm sure that you have been on it. I know I've been on it since January of 2011. I'm not predicting. This is not a prediction. Oh, you were right, I was wrong. No. This is based on the concrete. Also, don't forget, Simon, that the Muslim Brotherhood clearly was emboldened. They had been outlawed by Mubarak because of their jihadist and Islamic supremacist objectives to install a universal caliphate across the world, as determined by Ali Bana in 1928 when he created the Muslim Brotherhood. We had, you know, when Obama invited the Muslim Brotherhood to his speech, his submission speech in Cairo in June 2009, that was shocking. I wrote an article about it at the time. Like, hello, you know, is anybody paying attention to what's happening here? And then, of course, there were reports of mid-level appointees of Obama meeting with the Muslim Brotherhood. So they were clearly empowered and emboldened. And the movement, the only Arab Spring, which took place in Iran in June, July, and August of 2009, was completely and utterly ignored by President Obama, while women with eyeliner and lipstick and high heels took to the streets. Look, that movement in Iran was largely a woman's movement. You don't see that in Egypt. It's all men. You didn't see that in Libya. It was all men screaming Allahu Akbar. Mm-hmm. And even in Tunisia now, I'm sure you've seen the latest election. The most moderate Muslim country has elected an Islamic supremacist government who promises to impose the Sharia, just like they promised to impose the Sharia in Libya. This is not static, son.
Nope.
This is not standing still.
You're not.
You want to find more about Israel, Egypt, what's going on in the world? You can check out our info, the countdown box, DougStephan.com.
Hi, MZ.